keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I ask your blessing now upon the message. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would control what I say and how I say it. Lord, please bless and work. May the truth that we see here really help us and challenge us today, Lord, and do the work that it needs to be done. I pray your word have free course in the hearts of the people today. Lord, I pray especially if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray, Lord, that today they would come to know Christ and put their faith in Him and Him alone. Father, again, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, we are looking at here the Christmas story. And, of course, Christmas is absolutely all about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's not the holiday season. It's not about any other holidays or goodwill towards men in that sense. It is about the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Today, what I want to look at is the shepherds. Shepherds seeking a Savior. You know, the birth of Jesus, we didn't read the verses when Augustus, of course, he had the tax go out, and Mary and Joseph had to leave Nazareth and head down to Bethlehem. That's where they were from, so they can do the census. So they headed down there. Of course, when they got there now, the Lord's timing is perfect. Mary goes into labor. There is, of course, no room for them in the inn at that point in time. And then they end up out in the stable area, and Christ Jesus, the creator of the universe, is born in a dirty little manger. That's where he's laying down. And we pick up our story here where there were shepherds who weren't far away, keeping watch over their flock. And we'll talk more about them in two weeks from today. And during that Sunday school lesson, there's some important things with them and in relation to the birth of Christ. We'll look at that in Sunday school here in a couple of weeks. And they're keeping watch over their flock by night, and all of a sudden, an angel appears unto them. And the word used there, by the way, gives the idea of they were terrified at what had just taken place. I mean, they're out there at night, it's nighttime, all of a sudden this angel of the Lord appears unto them, And they're sore afraid. I mean, they are absolutely terrified. Matter of fact, the majority of the time when you see an angel appearing in the Bible, the very first words out of their mouth has to be out of necessity is fear not. I mean, they're getting a glimpse here of heaven. They're having an angel come down, and they're just watching. They're being faithful with their work. The angel appears, and then the angel gives that great announcement. More than likely, of course, this was Gabriel that was speaking. It says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then he tells them how you're going to find this babe. He gives them the mark of, listen, I want you to go. You're going to find him. You're going to find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then right after that, it was as if they had a glimpse of heaven right there. The Lord opened their spiritual eyes, and it says, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And so they're witnessing all of this. These humble shepherds in the field have never seen anything like this. Now, next week, I'm not certain of the sermon. It might be the idea of waiting on Christmas. There had been nothing spoken from God for 400 years.
And now all of a sudden, here's these shepherds, and they had the first angel appear, and then the heavens sort of opened there. There's all of a sudden, there's this multitude of heavenly hosts who are singing out and praising God, and they're getting an idea of what it's like to truly worship God and getting this glimpse of heaven, if you will. And they're beginning to, of course, to understand the enormous magnitude of the event that has just taken place on this evening, the birth of Christ. They were told about it, and they immediately head out. The Bible says they made haste. They went there, and sure enough, exactly what the Lord revealed to them is exactly what they found. There was this babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Creator of the universe as a baby. God in the flesh. Going all the way back to creation, to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the prophecy is now coming to pass. They see it, and of course they talk with Mary and Joseph of what had just happened to them, and the first angel that came, and then the host, these heavenly hosts that had just come to them. And then once they leave there, they have to go and they begin telling everybody what had happened that night. And the Bible speaks of the joy that they had. I want us to look at Christmas tonight through the eyes of the shepherd. Being a shepherd at this point in time in Israel was not easy. It was very, what we might call, humble work. They were considered dirty by their society. These were men who, again, as you're seeing here, they're staying out in the field with their flocks. And the timing to get in, there's different time. We'll look at this in a Sunday school in a couple of weeks. But there's different, you can read different sources of when lambs are usually born. Some will say the spring, some will say the fall. But usually it's controlled. I was studying about that this week. It's usually controlled when they're born based on when they want it. But a common time is absolutely in December. Because the way God designed this is right after the summer solstice, right around June 21st, is when, you know, the attraction really begins for the sheep at that point in time. Mating season basically begins. It's the strongest point, although they can't control and manipulate that with sheep. And their gestation times is about 5 months. So that would bring you into this time of Christmas time, of mid-December. So they would have been out in the field with their sheep right around this time. We'll talk more about that again in 2 weeks. That'll be a lot clearer why I'm bringing that up right now. But they're out in the field with their sheep. And again, the angels come. They're obedient to it at this time. And again, it's just humble work. Considered dirty. Not only that, they had another social problem on their hand. The religious leaders, the Pharisees of their day, all were always giving shepherds a hard time. Because remember, the Pharisees had created their own little legal system when it came to religious things in their society. They had come up with hundreds and hundreds of things to follow. Well, the shepherds could not possibly follow the rules of the Pharisees because of the work that they had. And so they were looked down upon because of that. You know, this would be the group that the Pharisees would make sure to point out in different sermons and whatnot. So they had that. They had the dirty work that they were doing. I mean, they might go a week or two without taking a shower. They had the trouble of the religious leaders of the day who were always putting them down because they could follow God's law just fine, but they could not possibly follow all of the religious rules that the Pharisees were instituting. So I find it interesting that the announcement of Christ's birth, what had just taken place, of who God chose to reveal it to. It isn't the religious leaders. It isn't the priests. It isn't the top seminary students in their class in Jerusalem. It is these humble men working in a field. Again, one of the reasons I believe he did show it to the shepherds first is, one, God is demonstrating a principle that he uses throughout the Bible. You never know who God is going to use. And it's usually not who you expect. It's usually not who you will expect. It's one thing that you see for certain throughout the Word of God, God always, always will use the humble. The Bible talks strongly how God resists the proud and He gives grace unto the humble. And He chose to go unto the humble here. I think He was demonstrating the principle that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." He was demonstrating that principle where God does resist the proud and He does give grace unto the humble. It's amazing to think of those, you know, looking back at some of the, you know, the friends that I know in ministry right now that God are using. I think of a pastor right now, Brother Malinak, who had absolutely struggled and just about failed out of Bible college. He'd actually shot himself through with a gun in his hand while he was in Bible college. He had showed this guy, if he saw a gun in his hand, he said, "Listen, that gun there, I know a way you can prevent that thing from firing just by grabbing it." Well, it was the wrong type of gun. So he grabbed it and he said, "Yeah, go ahead and fire it." And he fired it, boom, right through his hand. He shot himself right through the hand. Just about got kicked out of college, of course, for that. He would not have been the one in the school you would have picked that God's going to use. Not him. It's always amazing who God chooses to use. And I believe the key is always humility. I believe perhaps another reason why God revealed it to the shepherds first is, one, due to their work. Bethlehem is not far from Jerusalem. It's about 5 to 6 miles out. From what I understand today, I've never been to Jerusalem, that when you're heading out of Jerusalem, you don't even realize when you get into Bethlehem. It's almost indistinguishable today. Of course, it wouldn't have been back in Christ's time, but it was about a 5 to 6 mile difference between the two, and this is where these shepherds were keeping the flocks. So that has certain implications right there, because the likely reason that they would raise sheep near Jerusalem would be that these sheep were being raised to be sacrificed at the temple. And now they're going to look on the Lamb of God, who has come to take away the sins of the world. But today I want us to see, what I want us to learn today is their response. I believe they have an outline that can help us, not just, of course, at Christmas time, but every day in our life, that there are certain principles that they followed, which is also the reason why I think the Lord went to them, because the Lord absolutely knew how they would respond. And of course, the Lord knows how we respond to truth as well. But in this case, we see, I don't know about you, but it was in my life, I want God's hand upon my life. I want His blessing on my life. I want to be the one, if He does want to reveal something, I want to be in a place that He could use me. And so we can learn some lessons from the shepherds, from these men right here that were just doing their humble work. What things were present in their life. The first thing I want you to know is that the shepherds followed what the Lord made known unto them. You know, we had the declaration of the angel of the Lord that came to them and told them, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And he said, "You're going to find Him, of course, in a manger, wrapped in these swaddling clothes." And upon receiving this knowledge of God, what God had chose to reveal upon them, they acted upon it. They acted upon what God revealed to them. Right now, we have God's revelation to us right here in this book. We hold it right here. We have it today in the English language, in the King James Version of the Bible, 66 different books. God's holy word. These, right here, what we have is what God wants us to know. But the problem is, how often do we actually act upon what He shows us? I remember I heard a very good illustration of this years ago when I was a teenager. Had I thought about this before just now, I would have brought a rifle with me or something. And the point was about acting upon the Word of God. And anyhow, what he did for the illustration, he said, let's say you're at home and all of a sudden you're sleeping and somebody breaks into your house and you hear it and you know it. And the wife, your wife wakes you up and says, "Go get the gun, somebody's in the house." So you get up quickly, that's right, we're going to need the gun, and you set the gun down, and you get your kids, and you all gather around the gun. And you say, "We're going to do a gun study now."
The brass of the gun represents the deity. The long barrel, the righteousness we need to follow. Your wife would look at you and say, "Are you crazy? Pick up the gun and shoot it! Use it. Use it." Not only do we need to be hearers of the Word, but we also have to be doers of the Word, or we run into this major problem of deceiving your own self. You have to act upon the revelation that God gives you. When He reveals something to you, when He's working in your heart, trust Him. Too many today simply want to hear God's Word, but they don't want to obey God's Word. We need to follow His leading. I like how they responded, because it uses the word "now" in verse 15, I think it is, and then in verse 16 it says they went with haste. They acted quickly. When God revealed it to them, they responded to it. Many times we get ourselves into trouble and into delays and the different things God has to put us through to get us to obey. But when they knew it was revealed, when they knew what they had to do, they responded to it. May we during this Christmas season respond to the things that God reveals to us. Different truths from His Word. Let's not just simply respond to how our culture is changing right now. Again, I'm going through a series on dress, on standards, on Sunday night that certainly isn't popular in the day that we live in. But it's biblical. And I ask that you approach it and asking God, "What would you show me? Just reveal to me from your Word." Then respond to what God shows you. If God shows you, listen, if He's working on your heart that you need salvation, that there's never been a time in your life when you have repented and put your faith in Jesus Christ, why would you wait? Respond. Respond to that. Listen, the fact is, you don't know how much time you have. You don't know if you're going to walk into a store and there's going to be a shooting there. You don't know if you're going to slide through an intersection on the ice and this is your last moments on the earth. More than that, I would want to get saved knowing I had time left that I could actually serve God, that I could have the understanding of why I was created and have some time to glorify Him with my life. Listen, this facade of the American dream that got formed in the last 60 years is not true. It's not about just getting and getting and getting. Life is all about God. If God has showed you that you need to be saved, respond. If God has showed you need to be baptized, if you have put your faith in Christ, that you have never followed the Lord in baptism, why wait? I mean, that is your pronouncement to others that I truly believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe the Lord has shown you something in your life that you need to add to your life. Maybe your devotions have been not what they should be. Maybe your prayer life has been too pathetic. Maybe there's things you need to remove from your life. By the way, if you put the things in your life that God wants there, you're going to find the strength you need to remove the things that shouldn't be there. And then when God reveals it, respond. Don't wait. Secondly, what we see about the shepherds is they found what God showed them to be true. Sure enough, in verse 16, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Exactly what God revealed to them is exactly what they saw. They found it to be true. This is true in our lives. Make no mistake about it, what God has revealed to us is true and will be found true. If God says that without Jesus Christ you will die and go to hell, you can absolutely be sure it will come to pass. Doesn't matter if it's not popular in our day anymore. Doesn't matter if man likes to think that there's many roads that lead to heaven. The fact is, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I assure you, listen, you will find what God has revealed to mankind to be true.
Salvation is only in Christ. There isn't different roads to heaven. The key isn't listening to men like Robert Schuller and Billy Graham who believe in a universal salvation nowadays where you can have many different roads that lead to it. What we need to trust is God's holy word, not a changing culture that's moving away from the Creator. You will find this book to be true. If you think God would not possibly send you to hell, you have been mistaken. Jesus talked about judgment day. This is Jesus Christ. You know the one they like to claim who didn't judge and everything like that? The one he said in a sermon in Matthew chapter 7 talking about judgment day, how many multitudes will say unto him at that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. He says, then will I profess unto them, ye workers of iniquity, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And he says, I never knew you. He certainly did talk much more of the coming judgment and hell than he did actually even of heaven, although he certainly talked of both. There is a real judgment to come. You can be sure of that. Just like the shepherds found what was revealed to them was true, you will find God's word is true. If God says all that cometh to him, he will nowise cast out. Guess what? It's true. My security is not based in what I do. My security in Christ is based on what he did. And he promised he will nowise cast me out. I am forever his. God says, be sure your sin will find you out. You can be sure this is true. Your sin absolutely will find you out. I don't know how many times I've seen this time and time and time again, not only in my life, but in lives of others, where people think it's all right. Nope, nobody's going to find this out. How stupid we are. How often, you know, we forget that God is in control of all events. It just takes him just to tweak your memory a little bit about something. Let me and cause you to do something stupid so that your sin is revealed. God's in control. He can make it clear. Listen, right now, if God has been working in your life about getting the sin out, listen, respond quickly. Because His Word does teach, be sure your sin will find you out. I've seen it time and time again. I'd seen it with the illustration I gave. I won't give it the whole story out. I've given it before. With that gentleman who had stolen from the church, and I had no idea. Nobody knew. And what had happened was my phone had went out, was not working. And so I went down to our phone guy, and as I got to the building he was in, outside of the building was our parliament representative. I haven't met him yet. And so I go down to meet Byron Chan. His father was the former prime minister, and it was the first time we met. So we were talking for a while, and he said, by the way, did you get the funds that I sent for your church work in the village of Kudu Kudu? And I said, no. I said, didn't know you sent any funds to the work in Kudu Kudu. And he said, oh, I certainly did. He said, it was months ago. And I said, well, how did you send them? He said, well, I gave them to one of your members. I had the funds dropped off and given to a member of the work there. And he gave me the name. And I was like, oh. I turned and never talked to the phone guy. Turned and left. Went back home to tell Marianne, I'm heading out to village. By the way, when I got home, my phone was working just fine. The Lord knew I needed to find this out. He just simply had an angel break the line for a second. And then when I started going down, he put the phone back together. What that man found out that day is, be sure your sin will find you out. You will find what the Lord says to be true. You will find verses like Isaiah 26:3 is true. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. When I arrived in Korea for my remote assignment, 1 year away from my family, I was absolutely miserable. I could not believe I'm going to have to spend a year away from my family. And of course, I got right involved with the missionary that was there. And I'm still miserable. It's a couple weeks into this now. And they had one night was Bible memorization. Friday night service was just men's Bible memorization. And so he had a booklet with a bunch of cards, and he said, here, start off with these. It was just a couple hundred verses at the time. And the very first verse I memorized in that was, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Isaiah 26:3. And so I'm memorizing this, and I was at work, and I had to cut some grass, and I'm trying to memorize the verse. And then it clicked. This verse is the answer of why I'm miserable. I don't have perfect peace because my mind is not stayed on God. It's not my circumstances right now. And it changed everything. Know what I found? God's word was true. It's true. The shepherds found that exactly what God revealed to them is exactly what they found. Not only that, when you look at verse 17, you see another response here from the shepherds. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." The shepherds went about telling others about Jesus Christ. These men immediately became witnesses. They immediately began to tell others of the importance of the events of that night and what had just taken place. Again, it had been silent for 400 years. There had been nothing now. And now the Christ is born. The Messiah is here. And they are going about to, letting others know about what they saw with the angels, all this truth that had been revealed to them, what they saw when they found Joseph and Mary. They're letting others know about Christ. Oh, how this should be true of our lives. You see, too often, you know, I think as our culture began to adjust and change in the last 50 to 60 years, not so much just in America, but within churches themselves, you know, we began to put God basically in a box. And from our Sunday morning, we had our Sunday morning life. You know, our religious life, how would we respond to that? In other words, I think we lost of how special the truth is that we had in Jesus Christ. The glory of it. The importance of it. And that affects us not telling others. And I'm sure there's others that want to hear. Levi and I, yesterday, I think of how the Lord just orchestrates everything. As we were, Marianne had headed out to the valley, so me and Levi headed out for lunch. And as we headed out, I decided to go to a place that we'd never been to before. And I actually went the wrong direction at first. It's right on O'Malley, that Weebies or whatever it's called there. And I actually went down to Huffman. I said, wait, it's back in O'Malley. So I came back around, and we got there. And for a while, I was talking with my brother for a little while, so I was delayed getting in. But everything was of the Lord being orchestrated. And then we head in there, and the lady is helping us at the counter. And they had several workers there. It just happened to be her right there at that time. That was of the Lord. And so when we finished, I handed her a tract and invited her to church. Turned around, didn't hear her say anything. Me and Levi are sitting down talking. I look up, I didn't even notice. She was standing right there. And she'd asked about the church. She said, "No, I would like to come." She said, "Do you have a service on Christmas Eve?" And I smiled and I said, "We do." And she goes, "Can I come to that?" I said, "Oh yes, you certainly can." She goes, "No, I go to church." She goes, she mentioned the church. I don't remember what it was now. It wasn't a Baptist church. I can't remember what she had said right now. Pentecostal or something like that. I don't remember. And she'd said, I don't think they're going to have church around that time. And boy, I sure would like to come. And I said, "Oh, yes, you could come." And it was, and you know, it's just amazing to see how the Lord can put things together. There are those out there who absolutely do want to hear. There are those right now, even in this time of Christmas season, this is one of the times when suicides tend to rise. There are those right now who realize the vanity of life. There are those, when we head maybe into a neighborhood that's nice today, maybe some man who thinks he had it all together, he has the two Jaguars in his driveway, and he thought he was on what life was all about, and he's made it to this position in his company, but now he realizes the vanity of it all. And he's empty, and he's losing his family, and he has a son who's hooked on drugs. There's people like that all around us. See, if we don't recognize the glory of the truth that we have in Jesus Christ, we will be less likely to tell others, because we're not seeing it as important as it really is. When the shepherds, after they saw that, they began to tell others about Christ. This, of course, showed boldness I mean, these are ones who weren't well received. Now here's the shepherds who are ridiculed by the religious leaders, getting ready to say, guess what God revealed to us? So there was some boldness on their end as well. It takes boldness to be a witness for Christ. Quit looking for all the reasons why you can't witness and start trusting God. They knew when they left, others had to know this. They could not keep this truth to themselves. The Christ was here. Lastly, we're going to see the shepherds also experience the results of meeting Christ, and that is joy. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. They returned, glorifying and praising God. I mean, little did they know when they during that week, as they're watching over their sheep, and I believe it was a time when they were the lambs were going to be carrying at birth at that time. And so they're out in the field. They got the dirty. Little did they know how much their life was going to completely change. I mean, 400 years. They've heard nothing from the Lord. And now all of a sudden the truth hits. The Messiah is born. God with us. There is God in the flesh. He is this babe just in this humble abode, this manger, this dirty place wrapped in grave clothes. When they realized all these events, they had joy. Listen, their trade didn't change. They're still shepherds. The difficulty of their work did not change that night. They're still shepherds. The fact that they're going to be ridiculed by the Pharisees with the ridiculous rules that they put in place above the Word of God, that's not going to change this night. Their income isn't going to change. They're not going to be able to shower more. They're not going to have more possessions. Circumstantially, their life did not change. What changed for them was their worldview that night. What changed for them was this amazing truth of realizing it's not about just simply being a shepherd in a field. It's not about this humble work that I have. There is a God in the universe who is in control, who's created all things, and He has come to the earth to redeem us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The reality of salvation, the reality of who God is and who man is, and what God has done to redeem us back to Himself. And that produced joy in their life. Joy comes in knowing that my sins are forgiven. That at that judgment, when God is going to find every single person who stands before Him guilty, and they're going to be cast literally right there into a lake of fire for eternity, what I know is this, is that I no longer have to worry about that judgment. My sins have all been forgiven. They have been taken away. They have already been judged by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. My judgment is finished. Christ took it for me. My sins are forgiven. How many of you are familiar with the story, the book, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan? Amazing book. It's one of my favorite books. And perhaps my favorite part of the book is when he gets there by that cross and his sins are represented by this burden on his back. But then when he comes to Calvary and that falls down, the burden is gone. See, that's why I have joy. My joy is not based whether I'm in Alaska or New Guinea. My joy is based in what God has done for me. My joy is based in knowing that I will spend an eternity with the Lord. You see, I have eternal life now. It's not something I get, you know, when I physically die, I have it. The very moment I trusted Christ, God's Holy Spirit indwelt me and sealed me into the day of redemption. I will never, never be separated from God again. Joy comes in knowing that for eternity I will spend that with the Lord. We will be here for such a short time. When the trials seem to be too much, when the burdens are way too heavy, just remember, this will all come to pass. What is great about being a Christian and knowing our hand is in the hand of the Lord is knowing that all of us can say this and know it of truth. It will be all right. Everything will be just fine. Joy comes in knowing the true God. You see, men for 6,000 years have been trying to seek and trying to determine what is true. Why are we here? There's a joy. Those shepherds had joy that night because the reality of all that they had seen and had taken place. They found the reason why they're here. They knew truth. And in that day, you think of all the Greek philosophers who were trying to determine that. They found it. These humble men working in the field that night. They came across one of the greatest truths that there is. The purpose of life. That God is there. Not only is He there, He just didn't create us and leave us. He's absolutely involved in every aspect of this earth. Again, as we begin to see these truths just as the shepherd did, this will lead us to glorify God just as the shepherds did. This will lead us to joy in our life in spite of circumstances that are taking place. So what we see here with these shepherds is we see a group of men here that, one, they acted upon the truth that was given to them. What they found exactly what God revealed to them. They found it to be true. When they saw the great things that God revealed unto them, they let others know about the Lord Jesus Christ. There was boldness there. And then, of course, we see as a result of all this, they had joy. So the first question today is this. Number one, have you met Jesus Christ like the shepherds did? Has there ever been a time when you have repented and put your faith solely in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you can do that today. Maybe you're here. Maybe God has revealed truth unto you, but you haven't responded. Maybe there's things He does want you to add or put into your life, and you just haven't done it. Respond. Why wait? Time is short. And of course, then we begin to realize through the greatness of our message, the need to tell others. And then it brings us that sense of joy and peace in our life, of knowing why we're here. With every head bowed and every eye closed.